Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
It's a beautiful day, hey? Not outside. It's awful out there. But it's beautiful in here. Today, you can join me, if you like, in Matthew chapter 3. I'm just going to share a short word from the Word of God this morning for us. The kids are practicing for their Christmas performance, and so they need time upstairs, so you get some more of me downstairs. But we're going to be looking at a couple verses from Matthew chapter 3 today. Today is Baptism Sunday. I mean, it's such an important day in the life of our church. But baptism is a practice, and it's something that as much as Christians, we talk about it, as the church will talk about it, and we'll talk about why it's important. Sometimes it's hard to fully understand the why of baptism. Why all of this? The simple answer to the question is, why are we baptized? That baptism is an outward declaration of an internal decision. When we get baptized, we're saying openly that I now follow Jesus. That, as we talked about, he's my guy, and that he's now the Lord of my life, and I am his follower. I am his disciple. There's two reasons why people should be baptized. First is because we understand what Jesus did on the cross for us. Jesus, who is God, became man, paid the price on the cross, taking up our sin so that we could know God again. His death and resurrection is the foundation of our faith. Secondly, not only do we identify and understand his death, but we understand and identify with his resurrection, that going into the water signifies that our old self has gone and we're raised out of the water, and we acknowledge we are made new. But the question can be not so much maybe the theological why of baptism, because we can sort of understand the pictures and the metaphors. We can understand why, but why this? Why like this? Why do I have to go up in front of everyone, get dunked underwater, and then stand there soaking wet while everyone looks at me? Why do I have to do it that way? Can't I just post it on Instagram? I have more followers on Instagram than there are people who go to the church. It's more public. Couldn't the church just pass out t-shirts? And then we could like go throughout our day wearing the t-shirt. And then I would be publicly declared. Why do I have to go get all wet in church? It's cold out. No fun. I don't want to be seen in front of everybody that way. Why do I have to go through all of this? And the answer to that is because Jesus did. And Jesus is our example. Jesus was baptized just before the start of his early ministry. That is, as Jesus looked to begin into ministry, he took the step of baptism. And he did that because he tells us he wanted to set an example that we should follow. Now, the timing of baptism for every believer can be different. Some take days. For some, it's, I accepted Jesus yesterday. What do I do today? Baptism, let's do it. Some, it can take months. Some, it can take years before we come to a place where we say, I'm ready to take this step. And none of it is wrong. It's not wrong to get baptized quickly. And it's not wrong to take time in your life to come to the place where you're ready to take that step. But for Jesus, his first action was to be baptized. Before miracles, before healings, before teaching the people, he takes time to perform this symbolic and important act. Now, in the Bible account, Jesus actually comes to his cousin, John, to be baptized. And John, before he was born, the Bible tells us, he knew who Jesus was. And so when Jesus comes to John to be baptized, John is confused. And John says to Jesus, he says, "It should be you who's baptizing me. Why are you coming to me to be baptized? I should be coming to you." But it's in this moment that Jesus gives us an insight into how we are to understand why we are to be baptized. In verse 15, we read, "But Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' And then John said, 'Okay, let's baptize you.'" Jesus is setting the example for us as our role model. Jesus says, "I need to do it because it's important to be done." But here's the thing. Baptism isn't and shouldn't be about duty. It should be about devotion. Our highest motivation for doing what God has asked us to do, our highest motivation, the most important things are done in the right motivation, not when they're done because God said we have to do them. Our highest motivation should be love and devotion to God. When God says we should do this, it should stir something up in us. That when God says, "This is what I have for you," it should stir something up in us. That if a friend or your spouse or someone comes to you and says, "I have a gift for you," we don't go, "Well, I don't know if I want it. I don't know. I guess because I love you, I'll let you give it to me. But I don't really want it, but okay." And when somebody you love and care about says, "I've got a gift for you," something stirs up and, "Oh, this is exciting. They have something. I should want that." Baptism is something that God says he has for us. And that should stir something up inside of us. Baptism shouldn't reflect, "I have to do this." But baptism should reflect, "I want to do this." We don't get baptized because, "Well, God said I have to do it and I don't really want to do it, but I guess I'll do it because I have to." But our hearts should be, if God has asked me to do it, if God has said this would be good for you, this is what I have for you, that should stir something up inside of us. Friends, I want to be, and I want us to be as a church, a place, a people, individuals who are greedy for the things of God, for the things in our lives that God has for us. I want our lives to be lived from a place where we say, "Whatever God has for me, I want all of it. Not some of it, not most of it, not the parts that I think are need. I want, if God says he has it for me, give me all of it." That our hearts towards the things of God would be reminiscent of like a 16-year-old boy at a buffet. That we would just keep taking and taking and taking. "God, if you have more for me, I'll take it. If they put out more fried chicken, I'm gonna take it. And if God, if you have more for me, if you have more for me, I'm gonna just keep taking it." To the point where people around me are going, "Man, he's going back for ninths." That our heart to the things of God would be, "Whatever God has for me, I want it all. I want all of it." But there is one moment in the baptism of Jesus that I want to highlight for us today. And this is what I want you to take home today. That as you leave church today and as you go about your day, this is what I want you to see. This is what I want you to take home today. Is it something that we can all take away today? If you were baptized today, you can take this away. If you've been baptized, you can take this away. And if you have not yet taken the step to be baptized, you can still take this away today. In Matthew chapter 3, the story continues where Jesus is baptized. And we read in verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. Now, watch this, friends. This is wild. A voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. This is my boy. I love him so much. And I'm so proud of him. The story of Jesus' baptism concludes with this amazing moment where God's voice from heaven speaks. And he says, "This is my son whom I love. I am well pleased." What an incredible identification of who Jesus is. I love that God didn't speak from heaven and say, "This is Jesus, listen to him." He didn't say, "This is Jesus, he's gonna be a great teacher. This is Jesus, he's gonna be a healer. This is Jesus, he's gonna perform miracles for you." He didn't even say, "This is Jesus, he's going to die for you." Even though all these things are true, but rather God's voice speaks the greatest perspective that God had for Jesus' identity. And that is one of him being his son, of whom he is well pleased. But for Jesus in this moment, the most important part of his identity as he was moving forward, of all the things that he could have been identified as, of all the things that God could have wanted the other people to hear, of all of the things that God could have wanted Jesus to be reminded of, the one thing that Jesus highlights is that this is his son, he deeply loves him, and he is so proud of him. Now, friends, for us, identity can continue to be such a difficult issue in our society. One of the greatest and most common questions that we will deal with all throughout our lives, it's not a one and done, but different seasons of life, different times in our life, continually present us with the question, who am I? Trying to understand in this new season of life, who am I? Trying to understand in this new place, who am I? Trying to just understand today, who am I? But for all of us who have given our lives to following Jesus, the same perspective that God gives on Jesus, God gives regarding you. Galatians chapter 3 will tell us this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. In Jesus, through faith in him, you become a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of the King. Through faith in Jesus, you are adopted and brought into the family. It'll go on to say, for all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now, friends, this isn't somehow a warning that if you haven't yet been baptized, you're outside of this. But what this is telling us is if you have chosen to make Jesus or make following Jesus your life, if you have chosen Jesus as your guy, you have clothed yourself with Christ. That means that when God looks at you, he doesn't see all the things that we think he sees. But when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. Scripture will say that you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. We don't come in our own righteousness. We come in his righteousness. We have clothed ourselves with Christ. And then so we receive this promise. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When we choose to follow Jesus, we become a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God. And these verses tell us it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you've done, as long as you love him. It's a Backstreet Boys reference, in case you didn't catch that. The story of our lives is not what God sees. It doesn't matter the story that it's taken you to get to this place. It doesn't matter the story you're living in right now. You are a child of God. We'll go on to say, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. That's a metaphor for God's chosen people. That God, thousands of years ago, said, I'm going to set aside a people for my own possession. And when we give our lives to Jesus, we become part of that people. We become part of God's chosen people and heirs according to the promise. Friends, heirs means you've been brought into the family. You are one of the family. But here's what I want to leave you with today. You have an identity as a son or a daughter of God. But what I want you to know is that when God looks at you, when God thinks of you, when God speaks of you, he does so the same way he spoke about Jesus. That he will look at you and say, this is my son. This is my daughter, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. That when he looks at your life, when he looks at you, he says, Justine, you are my daughter. I love you and I'm so proud of you. That he says, Henry, that he says, Isabel, that he says, Ryan, that he says, Lori, that he says, Christine, that he says, Brenda, you are my children and I love you so much. And I am so proud of you. That we don't come to Jesus anxious about what does he think about me. Friends, what does he think about you? He loves you and he is so proud of you. And so maybe today you didn't come wondering how God feels about you. You knew. Well, let this serve as confirmation in your life. God loves you and he is so proud of you. But maybe today you did come unsure of maybe the story that brought you here or maybe the moment you're sitting in right now. And you say, if God looked too close, I don't know what he would think. Friends, when God looks at you, he sees you clothed in Jesus. And he says, you are my son. You are my daughter. I love you more than you'll ever know or ever be able to understand. And I am so proud of you. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that as we celebrate baptism, as we celebrate this moment where people in our church have said, this is my guy, this is my person, this is my future, this is my God, this is my Jesus. God, I thank you that we come together and we celebrate this moment in the life of our church. And God, I thank you that just as you were baptized and you spoke saying, this is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. God, I thank you that you are speaking that over us today. That for each one gathered here, for each one that will listen to this, God, you are speaking over them. Son, daughter, I love you, and I am proud of you. God, we know that one of the greatest lies that the enemy can tell us is to get us to doubt or question your love, to get us to doubt and question the way that you love us, the way that you see us, to tell us that we are failures and that we are worthless. But God, I thank you that into the midst of that, you speak words of love, that you will speak into our mess and into our lives and say, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. I'm proud of you. God, I thank you that you speak those words over us today. And God, I pray for those who maybe were questioning or maybe didn't even know how you felt about them. God, would you seal that in our hearts and in our lives today, that we would know that you love us more than we will ever be able to understand, able to comprehend. And God, thank you that when you look at us, you don't see a jumbled mess. But God, you see your son, you see your daughters. Thank you that you are so proud of us. God, I thank you that you are a good, good heavenly Father. I thank you for the way you love us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I know who I am.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go.
I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I was made for more. I know who I am. Yeah. Running my way, I know.